wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session for Coat Tire. Call 13 15 52 and let's make it happen.
Oh, big weekend. Purple, nice to see you.
A little bit going on, isn't there, Jim?
There's going to be a bit going on.
A domino effect, I think, out of the goings on at North Melbourne with Brad Scott and company parting, Jim. I think there's going to be
what
a
few other
things.
What do you think is going to happen?
I don't see it happening as quickly as what's happened with Brad Scott, but I still feel that the situation at Carlton will open up. And then, despite going, I think, really well this year, Alan Richardson, the fact that it is his fifth year and the fact that he needs an extraordinary KPI requirement to go into 2020, I still feel that one will play out as well. And there's a real sense now that Essendon is potentially going to be added to that that late season machinations, Bill, around
three clubs. You reckon?
Again, I just feel that, from what I'm being told too, that there are now people looking at that entire situation around them as well. But look, they've still all got 12 matches left. Those three men, haven't they, to try and improve situations which right now are looking quite bleak.
What about then the coach? We know Rhys Shaw is the interim, but I see John Longmire has been asked today in a press conference, and he said, I haven't been offered any job. I have a job at Sydney and am contracted here.
Yeah, he's definitely contracted for next season at the Swans. They are in the throes of working out how much further into the future they want to contract him, Bill. I just can't imagine John Longmire walking out of a contract. I mean, you come across people in footy, don't you, Jim? And you know him well. He would have to break a contract with the Swans to entertain the possibility of coming to North Melbourne. Yep. And I don't see him as that person.
You know what, though? The only thing I'd say about that is that the landscape with coaches' contracts has changed in the last 10 years. So what you do is you never allow a coach to get into the last year.
You're big on that.
So it doesn't happen. If you look at all the clubs, they never allow a coach to get into the last year.
If you want him.
But even if you don't, it just becomes impossible. The scrutiny, the narrative just gallops away from you. It becomes an absolute nightmare. So I reckon there's a bit of that for the coach and the club as well.
Yep.
So I reckon you'll see more coaches get towards that last year.
Launching point.
Yep. And then probably say, right, I actually now want to go somewhere else or do something else. So the breaking of the contract thing, I don't have as high as I would have maybe 10 years ago, because I reckon now the managers and the clubs go, right, we won't let him get in the last year because it's a nightmare, but if we need to move, we'll move within that framework.
And what they then do is present it to the public as a mutual and amicable situation.
I don't mind that.
Yep.
I don't mind that.
Well, there's a couple others I want to throw up at you, because they've got to have a tie with, they don't have to have a tie with North Melbourne, but a couple of superstar coaches out there with a tie to North Melbourne.
Yeah.
Alistair Clarkson, any chance at all?
Again, Bill, he last year signed a significantly revamped contract to stay at Hawthorn. Mm-hmm. I can't see him personally doing that.
And then
being openly receiving of offers to go and coach elsewhere. I just can't see why he would have put himself through that situation last year, committed to the Hawthorn. And he's big on that, isn't he? You're in or you're not. I mean, he once manhandled a CEO who just chose to leave the club under a contractual situation. So I just don't see that happening. And I do not see Adam Simpson at all.
And that's the other one, Adam Simpson, who's played 300 games with North Melbourne.
Of that trio, Bill, who have got North Melbourne connections, I think John Longmire is the most gettable of the trio.
No, Adam Simpson's just built a brand new house and got a 4-year extension, premiership coach. He's the mayor of WA.
He is.
He can do what he wants.
Yeah, but
do you believe, as Bill's asking the question, Jim, and you have a very, very clear line of sight into that club, do you believe that will be the starting point, an ex-North Melbourne legend?
I reckon you go and ask everyone. You put a wish list together and you've got to ask them. You
make a
negligent
call.
In your duty if you don't. But I'm with you. I think it's doubtful, but you've got to try.
You have to ask the question, because you couldn't possibly get to the end result and choose someone and then have Alistair Clarkson say, you never call me. You wouldn't believe it. I'm actually ready to go. So.
Now, Jim, I saw you sneak off after Triple M on Saturday, North Melbourne and the Western Bulldogs we did, and we all went one way, and Jim went down to the rooms to speak with Brad Scott, obviously a very close friend of yours, and you were his chairman for a long time. What was it like
very
in the rooms, and
weird,
what
actually.
Did you say?
It was very weird, because the playing group were very emotional. Like Ben Cunnington, I walked past, his tears streaming down his face, which is, unheard of for Cunners. Mm. So it was, and Goldie, and lots of red eyes and red faces, lots of emotion from the playing group, because it was so raw and new for them. And then Penny, Brad's beautiful wife, was very emotional. And Scotty was terrific. He was sort of sanguine about the fact that, righto, that's it. But it was a very strange environment.
Mm.
No one really knew what to do or say or whatever, but the club had just won a game against a pretty good opponent.
You know what they showed? You know? Shin bonus spirit to win.
So it was great, but then there was this overwhelming thing of bloody hell, you know.
It's finished.
Guy's been here for 10 years and has been a terrific servant of that club too. And Purple, I said this to you, I think, off air on the weekend. To end up with a winning record over that time, admittedly it was 106, 105, but still a winning record.
Yeah, exactly.
With that list, when I think back on 2009, 10, 11, real North fans might call me up on this, but 9, 10, 11, no good. Significant rebuild and legitimately an ordinary list at that point. Mm. And then after the Big Five went, the last sort of 25, six games, again, pretty, you know, you'd say the list is nowhere near the sharp end. So to win more games than you lose in his time with that scenario shows you that he can coach.
So what's the best thing about him? If other teams might be around listening.
Match day. No, I think his integrity and his, you know, his values and his honesty and all of that is amazing.
But if he's coaching
match day,
a team,
very, very good.
But is he good rebuilding?
He did it to get North to two prelims.
Yeah, and that's where he got. He couldn't go through it again, could he? No. A third time having had the
chance. And I think that was a good call by he and the club.
And the club, yeah.
So I think that was the right call, but I would back him to go again and do a very good job.
And that emotion to which you refer, Jim, it happened before the game too. I've spoken to him today too and just published an article on afl.com.au, him referring to the pre-match where he had half the players in tears. He actually is a really, I thought, a pertinent point that he actually then saw Robbie Tarrant's eyes and he realised then I had to actually control him so he didn't go out and get reported.
Yeah,
and he said he felt for Aaron Norton at that moment because he then went out and shut Aaron Norton down.
Did he ever get to the circle and sing the song?
I don't know.
Yeah, he did.
They did.
Yeah, the kids finally came in and they did.
We had to leave. All right, more with Purple. I'm just looking at some Gold Logie nominees. Oh, God.
Wow. You're not there, Jim?
What has happened to our industry? Jesus. The bloke that cleans the latrines is wandered on there.
For Coats Hire, Damien Barrett's in the studio.
All right, time to talk some positives. Purple, where are we starting?
I've long had a soft spot for Michael Walters, Jim, and I think you know that. And I loved how he just took that moment yesterday, waited for the siren to go. And while people think, okay, all you have to do is kick a point, well, he was 49 metres out by the time the ball left his boot, and there was a fair bit of pressure on that kick.
Yeah,
and we would have seen, I reckon, more than half the players in the competition shank that moment or have the ball fall short. Now, I just thought, look, it hit the post, but gee, got onto it, didn't it? It hit the post high. So it's
flushed it.
He did it well. It was probably
a good game, that, actually.
It was a really good game to watch. Yeah, and I think it franked both clubs, Bill. I had
Brisbane.
Doubts about more so Fremantle than Brisbane going into it. And I think the fact they got over the line, the Dockers, with traditional style, which I still have a problem with, but they're true to it.
Do they ever win easy?
No.
By 10 goals and run away?
No. But crucially, they've got themselves.
Round one, they did.
Yeah, round one, they did. Yeah, might have ended someone's span there. Crucially, Bill ended up in the eight after the round, and as such, have now set themselves up to stay there, I feel. I mean, the teams below them immediately in Hawthorn and Port Adelaide, I still feel chances, but with their predominance of home games being at that stadium, which they play so well, I would think they're going to stay in the eight now. So I like them as a positive.
Yep.
I want to wrap up St Kilda too. I've been critical, as you know, on various aspects, not what they're doing on the ground this year. And I think the fact that they've now got themselves to five wins out of the 10 matches is more than what I think was a good cutoff point for them going into the season, given all the problems they've had. And one of those problems, but we may as well touch on it now in Paddy McCartan.
Yeah.
I don't want you to delve and divulge confidences you've got with Paddy through Lucy, your daughter's relationship with him. But it's a really harrowing time. And just for those who haven't yet heard the extraordinary interview that he gave on Triple M Footy yesterday, here's a snapshot of it.
It's been tough. It's been a tough few months. I haven't really done a whole heap. I haven't been doing a lot of anything really, and that's probably been the hardest part. I've sort of lost my footy identity a little bit, but then also my identity as a person as well, just because I can't do stuff. Yeah, I'm sort of just a shell of a person that I was really, like I'm sort of just completely different. And it's, gone from sort of one day when I was playing to within 10 seconds being different, so.
Different in what way, mate?
Oh, well, I just can't do basic things, really. Going to the supermarket or going to a cafe or going out for dinner. The hard thing is that there's no real time frames on it, so hopefully I'm better next week, but I could be better in a year or 6 months. I don't know.
It's hard listening. Oh, it's sad listening. Mm, it's you see him, Bill, semi-regularly. Mm. Have you experienced and noticed what he's referring to there?
Well, I have, and I'd never thought it was my... I shouldn't get
place,
you know, place yeah. Yeah, my place to get out there and say what I've seen, because it had to come from Paddy. But yeah. It's just so frustrating for him. As he said, he got himself really fit pre-season, going to have a good year. Gets a small bump, not a big bump at all. Big. And when we went down the lawn with Luce and him, he couldn't drive down there. Lucy drove down there. We went to a cafe and met up with Jack...
Stephen.
Yep. And I remember he couldn't even walk back. Lucy had to drive him back. Yeah. It was only 500 metres back to where we were staying. Gee. And then at that time I thought, he's in trouble. And then he had headaches. He gets headaches a lot and things like that. Throw in the diabetes, which I don't know if he mentioned yesterday, of course. But so he's had a tough run. And then, of course, when Tom, his brother, had that trouble in Sydney, the poor old family... Joe, the mum, she didn't know what to do, and that's a great thing about them. They've got a great family, a very close family, and mum and dad have been really good.
Having been through it a bit with my nephew, it's the not knowing that must drive them mad. Mm. Because when Angus had it a couple of years ago, you'd speak to him and he'd go, "Well, I've done all the tests, everything's absolutely fine, but the symptoms are still there, so I can't do anything." Mm. And they've got no idea when they're going to go.
That's right. And the club doesn't really know.
No, exactly.
The AFL don't know. And the person doesn't know either. So it's just, it would be so frustrating for him.
Yeah. Well, we wish him well. GWS, do we still know how good this mob can be?
No, we don't, because the two wins they've had of a resounding nature in the past 2 weeks are against Carlton and then yesterday against Melbourne. So I like what they've done. I like the fact that yesterday's game was at the MCG and Himmelberg having arguably his best game of football in an already impressive list of games. So, they've got to be thereabouts, though, aren't they, Jim? I mean, they're well and truly well placed. Yeah. And I think they're doing pretty well. They got beaten badly by Hawthorn in round 8, it was. Yeah. And that was the game that Jimmy Bartel, one of the directors, actually said was their worst in their history. And I think it's sharpened them up a little bit, and they've been really good since. But again, the opposition has been with a question mark. Richmond was a good win, Bill.
It was.
On Saturday night against
Essendon. They're coming.
I was big on them not being able to win a premiership when Alex Rance went down in the first round. But that's wrong. They've covered for him to a point where they're sitting top four after round 10, and there's no reason they won't stay there and give themselves another massive chance.
Bashir Hooley, best on ground. Well done to him. Now, Jim, it's Ramadan at the minute, okay? So he not allowed to drink or eat from dawn to from dusk to dawn, okay? Yep. The other way, dawn to dusk.
Yes.
So he's not allowed to eat or drink daylight hours.
Yep.
So I was thinking about this because we had Tom Lynch on the Sunday Footy Show. He came in and told us that. He wins a best on ground Saturday night. So all day he's not allowed to eat or drink.
Mm.
Are they allowed to have water? Surely they'd have a drink of water.
Fluid there,
right, good. Anyway, so he gets to the game. Still not allowed to eat because he's got a game on. So he wouldn't have had anything to eat till about up past 10, 11 o'clock.
Well,
I've been starving.
No, but I guess the only thing about that, Purple, is he is now a very experienced footballer. So this would be the sixth or seventh of them. And he handles it so brilliantly.
Yeah.
It's a good effort.
Oh, no, it's a wonderful story. Yeah. The whole footy story of that particular player is, I think, nuts. But the team, I know we're going to get to the other side of things in a sec. The team they played against for three quarters were just horrendous.
Yes. Terrible. And I do want to get to them in the negatives, Jim. A couple other quick positives. Yep. Yeah, West Coast have now got four in a row. The win against Adelaide, it came after a third quarter comeback. They were down nearly six goals. And Luke Shuey was outstanding.
They do.
And I reckon their premiership defence has gone as well as possible, given what they've had with just getting into gear. They were 3-3, they're now 7-3. Hawthorn, you just have to give it to Alistair Clarkson. Managed to conjure a win down there in Tassie against Port Adelaide. They just keep stepping up.
How far is Nick Nat?
It could be 7 or 8 weeks away still, but it is on track. Right. It is on track, and they've got a very clear game plan. Collingwood did what it had to do against the Swans on Friday night, and as did Geelong against the Gold Coast on Saturday night.
We'll go to the positives, Jim. Other side of the ledger next. Talking a big round of footy that's just gone, and we've got through the positives.
Yep.
And there are a few that weren't as positive, Purple.
No, I think you want to start with Essendon, don't you, Jim?
Well, I watched that game, and I firstly couldn't understand the side they picked. Their forward half was so tall when it was hosing down with rain. Mm. I thought Bagley or someone like that had to come in late change to give him some ground cover. because once it fined up, they got a lot better. But for two and a half, three quarters, they were goal for most of the first three quarters of the game, but never looked like it. That's the thing that would have disappointed their fans. Yeah. They never looked like it. And then suddenly, in about 20 minutes, they caught fire and actually looked like they might run them down.
Yeah, it was just too much work to be done, though, wasn't there? Too late. And they ended up kicking away again, didn't they, the Tigers. But the other issue, too, added to what they actually displayed on the game itself, was the soft tissue injuries to Stringer and Scheel, which are added now to the... I keep saying it has Smith. To be mismanagement on Joe Danaher, given they rushed him back twice in 6 days, having not played for a year, and then Dev Smith, as you said, Jim. So there's some serious issues there at a number of levels, and John Worsfold needs to now get some wins built.
Well, this Sunday, you know who Essendon plays?
Tell me.
Carlton.
It's a big game.
What about that game?
Yeah.
Well, Essendon Carlton at the G Sunday.
It's a massive game. Look, even with those injuries, though, they're going to start favourite in that game, and he's got no choice but to win that game of footy, I think, John Worsfold.
So with Danaher and Stringer out, their forward half, where do they conjure? Where do they kick 100 points?
Don't know, because Tipping Woody has crucial roles to play when they win, factually and statistically, but when they lose, he doesn't. But outside of him, I don't know where it's going to come. I mean, it's just hard
McKernan,
to see.
Who's going to actually grab a game by the throat?
Yep.
Hooker or someone?
I was just about to say, they might have to throw him forward again, but it just, I think, throws him out of whack out down back. Yeah. But they have to try something. They can't go with what they've been going with.
Well, and a similar performance put in by Melbourne.
Yeah, that was...
They were no good for three quarters and then stormed home late to give some respectability, but nothing else.
Yeah, and now we're now well enough into the season to not be attributing some of this or reasoning behind their slump to the off-field problems in the preseason. I think there's been enough footy to play now for players who have got some form of fitness to put up a better performance than what they are doing, and they're just getting blown away. And apart from Max Gawn... Yep. I don't think one Melbourne player could look himself in the mirror and say, I'm going okay. And Gawn is such a man of such intense pride that he wouldn't even be giving himself that luxury himself, would he?
No, but their issue, they'll get Lever and they'll get May and they'll get this. So they'll get the players back. Mm. But I don't think their back half's the problem. The connection between their mids and forwards is just as bad as you've ever seen. Like I just watch it on the weekend thinking, who has got the class, the Scott Pendlebury ball use to actually deliver it inside 50 so that someone wearing the same jumper is going to at least be advantage purple? Maybe not take the mark, but to the right side, give him a chance.
Yeah.
I mean, they slaughter it going forward better than any club in the comp.
It was apparent back in round two, wasn't it, when they got smashed by Geelong by 80 points and had 76 inside 50s for a score of 48 points or whatever it was. And they were trying to justify that being a positive. And we've seen that time and time again since that round two period. And I think it gets back to your point. The connection between that part of the ground with their forwards is not just dysfunctional. It is non-existent. No. So Western Bulldogs, had Brad Scott not had his moment this week, they would have become a much bigger story than they ended up being. Not since 1978, when Hawthorn won that year's flag, has a premiership team failed to make three consecutive final series thereafter. And they right now, Bill, are on the verge of that with a 4-6 scoreline. Again, the season is not over, so we factored that into what we're saying here. But given this comes on the back of two consecutive seasons already after the premiership where they didn't make finals, it is absolutely tracking that way. And I think a lot of questions need to be asked about why they've made certain decisions on some players and what they're going to do about getting themselves out of it.
Well, and the issue, Bill, we were there at that game, weren't we? The issue for them is when Norton had a number done on him by Robbie Tarrant, they had no other option.
Not one. Mm. No. They sent English forward, who kicked a couple in that last quarter, but they just had no one else up there to help him.
Yeah. And he got him back into it, didn't he? And in fact, they hit the front.
Well, that was unbelievable. Yeah. They hit the front.
Yeah, they did.
Six in a row. And then North finished it off with five in a row. So it was a funny old game.
They've got a couple of slots tonight in the mid-season draft, so I'd expect them to use one of those picks, Bill. There's 14 clubs out of the 18 taking a player, and the Bulldogs are one of the four clubs taking two.
Is Shacky just not being selected, by the way?
Yeah.
He's playing VFL.
Yeah, and again, he kicked four goals against Hawthorn early in the season. Two of them were gifts, effectively, and he was out of the team 2 weeks even after that. So
the four
he's
clubs,
not the answer in Luke Beveridge's eye.
The four clubs not taking part: Brisbane Lions, Geelong, West Coast, and the Giants. Carlton has the first pick. Do we know who they're going to take?
I don't, Bill. I'll leave that to the experts on the AFL.com.au platform to tell us that, but that'll be on at 6:30 tonight. I don't feel that any player picked tonight is going to have a massive impact on his club for the remainder of his year. I think their decisions as a whole that are going to be made about the bigger picture.
Port Adelaide, I put them as a slightly less performing version of the Giants. In other words, I've got no idea week to week what you're going to get from Port Adelaide.
It is a bit that way with him, isn't it? Yep. Yeah, I thought they were going to be better than they clearly were against Hawthorn, and it probably gets back to your point, which I think is a fair assessment of them. We just don't know, do we? We once upon a time did with Port. I think we do now. They've got reasons for it. They've still got a young team, and I think they've effectively had a rebuild on the run without necessarily promoting that aspect of their operations. One more quick one is not so much a negative sense, but a sad sense in that Daniel Wells is going to miss a lot of footy now. He's escaped surgery, but it's just about season ending. It's not officially season ending, but it's pretty serious what happened to him on his on his left knee. And Carlton, we just don't need to say too much about them. It's just it's a regular occurrence and appearance in the negative sections on the Monday bill.
A segue into the bus.
Well, we know that one at Carlton's there. We had a second one there. The other one's going to go to Tullamarine, Bill.
Oh, again?
Have we got two there now?
We've just got the one there, the two at Carlton.
Might have to buy some more buses.
Yeah, we might.
Are you still being promoted everywhere? Full page in the Record on the weekend.
Was it?
Hutchie's publication.
Yeah, exactly. Damo's big four eyes sticking up there. Oh,
it's on the Nepean Highway, Bill.
On the Nepean Highway, it's on the
Bridge Road.
Oh, what are we dealing with?
Sorry.
Come on, Purple.
Are you getting ahead of yourself?
I'm apologising to the public.
You're getting ahead of yourself.
Well,
okay?
I don't negotiate those parts of the arrangement, Bill.
Oh,
what? You're going to go in and go, I need to be on a billboard?
I want a full page. Please. Put my ugly mug on it.
Yeah, so you can abuse me like you always do. Yeah, give you other reason.
I think the answer to that's yes, Bill.
Yeah, I did hear him say
Thank you, Purple. Good to see you, mate.
See you, boys.
That was Damo's recovery session for Coat Tire. Call 13 15 52 and let's make it happen.